Welcome to the Underground, the Steel City Underground, the black and gold standard for Pittsburgh Steelers coverage. Now, here's your host, Joe Kuzma.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Steel City Underground podcast. My name is Joe Kuzma, and as promised, we would have a little bit of a variety of content here in the off season, and finally track down this fine gentleman here that's over to my side. If you're watching on the video version of the show, his name is Derek Hockridge, and he is an NFL agent for Steinberg Sports and Entertainment. So, first and foremost, Derek, how are you doing today? And thank you for taking your time out of your busy schedule to join us.
No, thank you very much for having me. It's a true pleasure, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak. But I'm doing well. I woke up today, and that's my mantra right there. You know, if I wake up, we can handle what comes after it.
So yeah. I'm doing well. Yeah, absolutely. I try and be clever with some of the sayings like that, but I always butcher it, so I won't go there. But yeah, I wanted to preface, and I've already shared any concerns that Derek may have as well for his agency clients, past, present, or potential in the future. We can't get into some specifics here because it's not proper in the business. So for those of you folks that are listening out there and you're like, well, why didn't Joe ask about player X, Y, or Z specifically? That's a big no-no here. So just want to say that Derek has been given the option to plead the fifth if he needs to on any of the questions that I have. I don't think I'm going out of bounds with anything, but first and foremost, I think the easiest one is, why don't you give us a little bit of your background. Tell us about yourself and also Steinberg Sports and Entertainment.
Yeah, definitely. So a little bit about myself. I've created a career in wealth management, managing assets, some big firms on Wall Street. And football was always a passion. I played a little bit through college. Injuries got me out of the game. Came opportunities to get on this side of everything and help represent guys. And I felt that was a nice segue to stay close to the game and help guys, achieve their goals and aspirations. So switched over to the, help on the representation side. That's what got me in.
Excellent. Excellent. And that's always cool. I'm a big proponent of talking about how football is, family. It's a big network. It's a community. That's the reason why we don't say certain things about certain contracts. Although we have players that retweet with the eyeball emojis and kind of get what they'd like, some crazy things have happened this off season. And I guess that's probably one of the biggest places where I'll start there. Just how wild is this offseason? A lot of people are talking about there's been nothing like this. There's just been trades and mega deals and everything like that. Do you kind of sense that the same in your respective area?
100%. I couldn't agree anymore. It feels more so like the NBA trade deadline or MLB. Right. And in football, we don't really see it happening that way. And it seems like all of a sudden a switch got flipped this year. And, with all the experience we have here at the agency, we'll have talks like, have you guys seen anything like this? The founder Lee been in the game since the mid 70s. And he's, the agency itself, a record 8 number one overall picks. 12 Hall of Famers. Like, we've seen a lot here at the agency. And, this is something we haven't seen. So we'll have those conversations. It's like, what's going on? So it's pretty interesting to see.
Yeah. Do you kind of get a certain sense of, it's kind of like everybody's playing catch up here. I mean, they see what the Rams did with some trades. They win a Super Bowl. They see maybe what the Bengals did with some free agency. They get into the Super Bowl and some other teams doing many of the same things. Is it kind of like a cat and mouse where everyone's trying to just go all in to win it for 1 year versus more long term? Or I mean, it's pretty wild.
Yeah. I think the formula is out there. The Rams did a great job executing their plan. Right. And also we piggyback the fact that the NFL, much like anything in life that is successful, is a copycat league, right? Mm-hmm. So if one succeeds at it, it's not going to be too far-fetched to see others, try to take a stab at it. And boy, have they done that this offseason.
Yeah. Now, I was kind of curious as to how much of this sometimes we hear about players, some of them with no trade clauses that got traded and waived it, and just how much are you stuck in the middle of that? Because there was just a recent trade that just happened with a particular wide receiver, and I'm like, wow, that came out of nowhere. Or like two teams talking, and then all of a sudden you get a random phone call at like 2 a.m, and it's like, hey, this guy's getting traded or whatever. Like, how much involvement is there from the agent or agency with the player? Like, is there like planning sometimes that we don't see or hear behind the scenes, or is sometimes it a surprise, or is it like kind of both in this set of circumstances?
I would probably lean on both. Sometimes, you know, if you have a guy, X player, player X, and there's whether it's a contractual situation or you want to find, you know, excess opportunities or whatnot, you know, you're probably hand in hand having those conversations with the salary cap guy, the front office in general, and trying to see if you guys can work something out. And a lot of things happened over a few weeks ago in Indianapolis. You know, it's the annual NFL retreat, right? And a lot of those conversations began to take place. So you do, I'll go out on a limb and say you do have a nice dialogue going, right? Daddy, and it's I'm playing Daddy Daycare today.
That's okay. Yeah. I've been there too. Awesome. Yeah, like I said, Derek's busy, and we actually tried to get on the horn a couple of times already. And you know, you mentioned Indianapolis, NFL drafts right there. You mentioned that the agency itself has had some number one overall picks and a little bit less kind of control in that instance. Like, you know, you might have an idea. Obviously, if you have like a very big top name, you have an idea of, hey, this guy is a first rounder. But we've seen some, we'll put it this way. The internet likes to think that there's 90 to 100 first round grades on players, and there's only 32 right. picks. So just what's that process like with a lot of the newer players? Because when it comes to your area, this isn't the only thing you're doing. You guys, I know, are starting with practically like almost like you're watching and monitoring the seniors or some of the juniors that may come out early in college. So it's almost right. a year-round thing.
Right. Yeah, 100%. So just to dive in from that point, yeah, you always have to pay attention to what's going on to those that are eligible. If you're just paying attention to seniors, you know, you're going to be in trouble. Right. So you want to pay attention to guys that you pinpoint that have the ability. And then, but also there's going to be times in football to where there's always going to be a late bloomer as well. Right. The guy that is on no one's radar and pops up. And so you have to be mindful of that as well. But in guards, in my opinion, you just have to mitigate and minimize expectations and over deliver on results. You know, everyone wants to say they're a first rounder, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I would love for everyone to be every young man that has a dream to go to the next level. I would love for everyone to be the first number overall pick. But you know, you and I and everyone listening, we know that there's only one overall pick, and there's only 32 first rounders. So I think that's realistic goals. And set on that blueprint that you have laid out and attack it and try to position your guy to go as high as possible.
And it's kind of different because when you're dealing with someone who's like just getting into this process, it's going to be a rookie, it's going to be drafted. They have a lot less say on obviously where they're going to go if they get drafted. If they're undrafted free agent, of course, then right. they could pick. But yeah. where they're selected to has to deal with how much potential they have to earn. They don't have maybe as much leeway with contracts and things of that nature. So I guess from an agency standpoint, a lot of folks don't realize this, and this goes with the veterans too, but how do you sell yourself as being, hey, come with us? And it's like you can't guarantee that somebody's going to move up 10 picks in the draft or land right. with Team A, but there are other things that the agency does for its players other than just contract negotiations.
Right. So a fresh example of having a solid concrete plan in place. One second. A solid concrete plan in place is our receiver, Khalil Shakir. All right. Khalil played at Boise State, non-Power 5. Excellent ball player. elite skill set. Going into the process, there, you know, personnel departments and scouts have questions on, you know, the speed, the level of competition. So in this situation, you want to create an ideal formula to attack those questions that are being had, right? So number one, finding a training facility that will address speed or the whatever the concerns are on the that can be addressed training-wise, which we did there. XPE down with Matt Gates in Fort Lauderdale. So we said, okay, that'll take care of itself. Getting the Senior Bowl opportunity, that takes care of the competition part. So you go down there, you handle business competition-wise, check that box off. You put in the work day in and day out with the training regiment, go to Indianapolis and shock everyone except those that knew on the 40 time, right? So that's just a quick example of you need to have a efficient blueprint and follow it to the T. And if you can do that, that's where the elevation of draft positioning really comes into play, answering those questions that personnel departments have.
No,
if that makes sense.
No, that makes perfect sense. And I'm a guy who's from an FCS school as my alma mater, FCS background, followed a lot of small colleges. So, like when somebody undrafted came to the Steelers a few years ago, Devlin Duck Hodges, for example, quarterback. Or I watched Cooper Kupp play in college. Like, I've seen a lot of these. Heck, I saw Randy Moss play at Marshall when I was, you know, I was probably about 11 years old at the time. But, he used to wear the striped soccer socks when he was in college. You know, that was – I don't know how he got away with that. NCAA is just so, like, ridiculous with the rules.
Yeah.
But
Maybe they didn't have enough eyes on Marshall, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, it makes a lot of sense how someone can shoot up the boards if they're not necessarily from, you know, one of the – bigger schools or biggest of schools, like let's say in Alabama or in Ohio State or something like that, and how they compete.
Right.
Like I said, I mentioned Cooper Kupp, for example. That's probably very similar. But then you have like you have your veteran players. I imagine you have some of the same things you might be doing for them, or I've even heard all the way down to making sure that they have like a nutritionist or if they could afford to have a chef or meal plans or anything to that nature.
Right.
So what is, how do you help out some of the veteran players? Not only, they might already be under contract too. So it doesn't matter if they're under contract or seeking a new one, but what are some things that you guys do for them?
Maximizing their potential, right? So whether it's getting them in contact with the chefs, you know, some guys, you know, aren't making, you know, I feel like we all on the outside, not someone like, you know, ourselves right here, feel like all these guys are just making ridiculous money. And at the grand scheme of things, even those that are on minimum contracts are making amazing money here in the world. And in the past pandemic and the current situations show us that if anything, right, there's a lot of people that would dream of making that. Let me just put that there. So not to belittle any, you know, the monetary size. But they might not have the expense ratio to spend it on a personal chef or whatnot. So introducing them and having relationships with whether it's training facilities that they're accustomed to, that they did pre-draft process or not, having them have a regimen during the offseason, staying at the peak of their ability during the season, making sure their nutrition is right and finding, like you said, a nutritionist. And introducing them to that aspect of it, and just making sure that their mental is right and their physical is right as well. Everything on the field, if you have a guy that is willing to, you know, become a master at his craft in this situation, football, but anything in life, if you are able to buckle down and become a master at your craft, that the craft itself will work out. You know, you can produce on the field. And those opportunities as a veteran will come about, right? But making sure you're doing things on the back end that people don't see every day. Social media has unveiled a little bit of it. You know, people get to see what guys do on the daily. But seeing those intricacies that go into place, I think that's the part that we play in on the veteran side. Finding outside opportunities, helping guys find passions outside of football. You know, I like to tell guys, even if you come in the league at, say, 22 years old, say you play an 18-year career, amazing career, Hall of Fame career, where the average is three and a half years. You're 40 years old. In the scheme of a workforce, you're extremely young. So what type of passions do you have outside of the game for the life after football? and helping that as well. And whether it's introducing you to the different, you know, whether it's in finance or real estate or anything. So that's what it all encompasses together, if that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh no. Perfect. And you hope that they took advantage of the college education that was afforded to them as well. 100%. And you see some guys come out early and then go back and, you know, I was 5 years for a 4-year degree. So just like an average job, no pun intended there. So, you know,
And the NFLPA will actually pay for guys to go back to school. There's programs out there like that as well. So take advantage of all the resources that you have, you know?
Yeah. And obviously you'd like to get guys tenured too, because there's a lot of other things that are involved with health insurance and some perks and benefits. So that second contract is always, that's what I was going to ask. It's not always about money, so to speak. There's other things that are involved. Could you maybe touch upon, because sometimes everyone's like, oh, you know, so-and-so went to, you know, they left the Steelers and went somewhere else because money. And it's not always a financial situation. It might be they grew up in a certain area, or they have family in a certain area, or you know, Texas, Florida, no state income tax. There's all kinds of different scenarios that are there. So if you could touch upon a few of those.
Yeah. So first to touch on whether a guy gets tenured. Okay. Thank you. That's not, apologies. So you want a guy to at least to get their 3 seasons in, three seasons, you become eligible to receive that pension. You know, you're in turn vested, right? So that's the number one hump right there. Like you touched on, health insurance, et cetera, that comes into play, getting a monthly pension, and just helping your retirement, the retirement phase of your life, getting that. Then forgive me before I was rudely interrupted. The other one was like the no tax state, stuff like that, right?
Well, yeah. They might go to a certain area they grew up in, either went to college there and liked it. You know, it's not always like, oh, we'll put it this way. I don't know that everyone views Pittsburgh as the destination, but many players do go to whatever town they end up in as a pro. They might have a solid career there, and they grow roots, and they you know, they grow their family there, and they end up staying. Right. Not everyone's like that.
Right. Yeah. So you do have those situations, like Aaron Rodgers, right? Throw out everything that was going on during the last, you know, 16 months or so. You got a guy from Northern California that I feel outside looking in is fell in love with the community of Green Bay, Wisconsin. Right. And from the outside looking in, people could say, you know, who would want to live in Green Bay, Wisconsin or something like that. Right. So you do have those guys that become enriched in those local communities. More often than not, a lot of these young men, the league is made up of stand up young men. Right. And as they grow older towards it, who fall in love with the community in the community that they represent and take pride in it. Then you do have some guys that say, you know what, I want to get closer to home. I've spent X amount of time where I am. No, nothing against where I'm at, but I'd love to get closer to home. Maybe there's a family situation to where elders in the family, you know, would like to see them more often and can't travel. There's been situations like that I know firsthand where people can't travel as much and they would like to see them play and et cetera. That plays in the hand of wanting to get closer to home. So those do come into play for a lot.
And then maybe you get some young men who are all about the, you know, the nice cars, the fancy jewelry,
the lifestyle,
the beaches in California, or, you know, Long Beach, South Beach, if you're going to Florida or something. Maybe they don't want to go. Hey, the Big Apple's nice, but you know what? The weather, some people
little cold.
Know, don't want to play in the cold. Get some of that too.
Yeah. If you get that preference and that's the beauty of it. And that's, again, this is so, it correlates so closely to life. If you get a job opportunity, whether it's professional sports or not, if you get the pick of the litter, you know, some may want to say, look, I want to go, people that graduate college and go study abroad for a year and just want to, you know, see new things, see new sights. So you got young men that are just living life, growing as they work in the public spotlight. And there may be some dreams or aspirations they want to reach for themselves on a personal level. I've lived in the cold all my life. I grew up in the cold. Let me see how it feels to live on the beach. Or I lived in sunny California my entire life. How does it feel to live in the snow? You know, it can work both ways. So those personal interests do play a part, most definitely, and if the opportunities are there.
Yeah, I have to imagine too, without getting into too much, it might have to do with, well, this team's winning, this team's losing, this team has a coach, a legendary coach that's been there for like a decade or so, or you know, so and so was coaching me back in college. They were a position coach of mine, and now they took a job with somebody else. It's a new head coach, and now they're on some staff with one of these other teams. There's always those, or hey, we see some examples right now with the Steelers. Levi Wallace coming over from Buffalo. He played in college with Minkah Fitzpatrick, and he's just excited to play with his former teammate, and they were friends. Yeah. And you know, it's cool stuff. And they were doing the jersey swap and everything before that. So,
yeah, no, you're right. I think so. Obviously, right there, the underlined word is relationship. You know, it the world is a relationship based place, right? You know, you know, everyone that's I think that's what was so hard about the pandemic. You know, we as people, as humans, we're meant to interact with each other. I think that was so hard on everyone, just being secluded for so long. When you play into that mental space of just wanting to have those, build on those relationships that you have. And at the end of the day, not to be long-winded, people in general just want to be happy. No matter, you know, what you're doing in life, where you are in life, you want to be happy. And if you have a relationship that you can hang your hat on and smile when you walk through those doors of employment, you know, why not, right? So whether it's a ex-teammate, coach, et cetera, if you can have that familiarity and have an enjoyment of working together in that number one relationship, go for it.
Yeah, and you know what? And this isn't to be funny here, but I had someone ask if I could ask. So this wasn't initially my question. We might not have seen it on some of the rundown, but no, it was kind of to the effect of, you know, people are listening to this like, wow, this sounds like awesome. We always kind of thought of, you know, like you get the slimy lawyer kind of vibe maybe with some of the agents, and they're just doing this for money and they're doing this to do this and they're just making everything difficult. And as a fan, you have an emotional investment. Why are they doing this to my team? Why are they taking this player and stuff like that? So somebody had asked, it's like, are agents honest with their clients or just tell them what they want to hear? And it sounds like when you're part of a good outfit such as yourself, that it's more of the honesty end than the just kind of like placating and, you know, oh, okay, here, take this. This is the best you're going to do or whatever.
Yeah. No, 100%. I'm the oldest of six, right? Middle class type of family who got hit 08, 09, like millions of other Americans and people in the world in general in the financial crisis. Obviously, we touched on it a little bit earlier, you know, football didn't work for me playing in college. And the reason I got into it is want to help guys achieve and, you know, their aspirations and goals. And so the number one thing that I build my foundation on is trust, right? If we could have the nicest house on the hill, and if we don't have a solid foundation, it won't last long. It'll be crumbling pretty soon. And so I take that into every relationship that I have, whether it's business or not, or personal. You know, people want to be associated with people they can trust. Leading me to say, there's no winning and providing any fluff to your guys. Guys want honesty. And if they don't want honesty, that's not someone you want to be associated with, right? So to answer the question, you know, you'll have those guys and gals that may be in it for opposite reasons. We all have our reasons to do whatever we do in life. And I can't speak for or against it. But then you do have people that, you know, from the looks of things, are stand up individuals and who genuinely want to see guys succeed and just be there with them. I always tell my guys, I'm not above you, I'm not below you, but I'm right beside you the whole way, right? And that's how we carry it on. So I hope that answers.
No, that's great, man. I'm like, I want to sign on. Like, what can you do for me, you know? Well, it kind of gets into some of the more hairier things, too, because obviously football is business, and it's, some teams have certain needs. Some teams only have so much they could spend. Like, kind of maybe go over we know that players don't like to necessarily play on the franchise tag because it's like it's 1 year. It's not long-term security, even though the money's guaranteed. But also in the same light, I always wonder what it's like when the organization comes to you and says, hey, can we redo this contract? Now we've got void years and we're restructuring and we're converting bonuses in order to create cap space because now we're being told right. The cap is a myth, even though eventually we'll catch up to you as we see with some teams. But I guess it depends on the individual, but how approachable, like, are some players like, okay, yeah, I'm going to help my team, and some players, nah, screw that, I'm not going to do that.
Right. So I can't speak from a place of, just being honest and transparent, I can't speak from a place of personal experience. I haven't had a guy in that faced with that situation. There has been people around me have been faced with that situation, so I can speak on that in that regard. So if those opportunities do present themselves, more so, you like I said, the league itself is made up a majority of good guys. I would go on a limb, say 9 out of 10 are good guys, right? And if you have a team coming to you wanting to restructure the contract, maybe convert some of the salary into a bonus, signing bonus or whatnot, to be able to, you know, open up some salary cap. It's a hard cap league, you know. It's not. Like, it doesn't have an imaginary line like the NBA or whatnot, or free for all for the MLB. So it's a hard cap league. So if you can help your team and get paid more upfront at that point as well, little to none I've seen from my point of view, guys that I'm around, turn that down. Because it's either that or you could be getting cut.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm either going to cut you to free up some cap space and take some dead money down the line or whatnot, or I can just take the salary, convert it to a bonus, and open up some that way. Still have you a part of the team, play the integral part that you play, and you're getting, you know, paid at this point. So I would lean more so on guys being okay with converting that.
Yeah, but is it, have you seen any frustrations on the franchise tag end of it where maybe you're trying to do a long-term deal, and then it's like, well, we'll just franchise tag you, and then maybe it doesn't work out.
Yeah, yeah. No, that on that sense, you know, like you spoke on already, and what probably 9 out of 10 listeners will already understand, it's out there, so I'm not saying, you know, no one doesn't understand of long-term security. Anybody, we can all have our mindset, everyone wants long-term security. So when you're faced with, obviously, if you're getting a franchise tag, you're legit, for lack of better words, right? You're a legit player. You mean a lot to the team. So we know the type of caliber of performance that you're bringing to the table, and you can feel slighted, and you do feel slighted if you can't get a long term deal situated. And we're just going to say, you know what, throw our hands up, white flag. We'll just franchise you and worry about it when we worry about it. And you see a lot of guys say, I'm not even going to play on the franchise tag, you know, because it's at the end of the day, it's a business. So if I go out there, you know, me and you are players, and for our respective teams, and we're both on the franchise tag, and we get hurt, whether it's a devastating injury or not, you know, football is a sport that any play you can be done. That is the reality of it. You know, it's a brutal sport. Physical sport, in any given play, contact or non-contact, you can you know, damage your value. Yeah. So it makes sense to where guys are a little upset, because you do want that financial security for yourself. So I've seen it. So yeah. And, just no personal experience.
Yeah, yeah. No, it makes perfect sense. I was going to say risk is the best word there. You might be getting paid, but there's also that risk of, like you said, anybody that's on the tag is legit, but then how legit are they if something really catastrophic happens?
That might
hurt their earning potential. And, you know, a throw name out there, like Odell Beckham Jr. gets hurt in the Super Bowl. I mean, he might not be eligible to play until like November or something. Now it's kind of devastating to him, because otherwise, you know, that's all anybody would have talked about. Maybe he's got a big deal somewhere, maybe returning, going somewhere else. So
that's heart. It's heartbreaking. Don't know Odell, you know, so have no horse in the race. But you can only feel for guys that, you know, he picked himself back up. You know, I believe he began to silence a few of the doubters that were, you know, thought maybe he was, you know, not what he was. and began to put a great.
Yeah, I said it, but then again, that's Cleveland, so I mean, right. It's like I'm allowed to say that. So
yeah, still a fan, you know.
Yeah.
So you know, he was afforded the opportunity, and he made the most of his opportunity, right? And to see him go down, it's heartbreaking to see that happen. But that's a prime example of why, you know, you ideally would want financial security of a long-term opportunity. Because you can't argue. Say you were getting $10 for a deal, right? And that goes down. What are you getting? $3-4 type of thing, right? Just for, you know, for number sake of numbers, right? Does your value go cut in half? Or do you catch a breakthrough where someone's like, I'll give you, you know, 6 to 7. That's still not what you would have been expecting on any type of open market, right? So that is the risk factor that is there. And you hate to see it.
That's an excellent point. As now free agency is getting into about 2 weeks and all of like, there's still big names out there, but now we're starting to kick down into now our teams kind of switching gears toward the draft and do some of these, like the same thing you're saying, you're looking at $10 when free agency's starting and you have all the legal tampering. Now, all of a sudden, you know, teams have signed this guy, or, you know, there may have been 8 open spots, and now maybe there's 3 or 4 at your position, maybe starting, maybe not starting, different opportunities, obviously. The longer a player maybe sits out there in free agency, does that too hurt maybe their earning potential in that case?
Well, you can't, yes and no. You can't really speak on it because there could be conversations going on in the back end that guys want to see happen. Or maybe they want to see how the draft unfolds. If they don't get a guy that they're targeting, maybe they come back to the well and give that money that they were initially looking for, right? But you flip the coin, you play that type of scenario. We'll say, look, instead of giving you X amount, we can get a rookie, a healthy rookie that can help us out right away, pay him, you know, X amount, which is, you know, going to be on that rookie salary, which obviously helps the salary cap, right, in that situation. And then that said veteran is waiting for something to happen, whether it's an injury, whether it's just taking a smaller deal than once expected. So it's 2 sides to that coin.
No, yeah. It makes complete sense. Nothing is ever like a black or white. It's like just, it's a gray area with this stuff. There's very unique situations. But no, yeah. It's good to hear, like, too, because a lot of times we sit here in my seat and you're just speculating on some of it. So to kind of like line it up and see that, no, you know what? Sometimes it's not speculation. These things go on, you know, over in your area. And I've got 2 more for you real quick here.
Well, no,
maybe
no
not real quick. Maybe not real quick, but you've mentioned the pandemic a couple of times, and I bring this up all the time and how the cap dropped last year. How much of a mess was that with NFL free agency last year, where the salary cap, instead of it going, you know, it's been going up and going up and going up, instead it pulls way back, and a lot of teams, including the Steelers, found themselves in the red.
Right. Got affected like anything else in the world, right? And, you know, the media money and all that comes into play when adjusting for the cap itself, right? All the money that the revenue. So if I'm not making X amount of dollars, I can't spend the said amount that I had first quoted myself. So COVID did hit hard. I think it did give franchises, how can I describe it? Maybe a not dose of reality, but maybe gave franchises a shock factor, right? Shock factor and forced them to do things maybe they didn't feel like they were going to need to do. But that I think that probably played in itself. And obviously seeing this year, the cap jumping up, and assuming, you know, where we're behind our worst days, continuing to jump out as it does, you know, annually, I think we get everything straightened out. But just to answer, again, long-winded, just to answer that question, yeah, Kobe definitely messed up the calculation for the cap. And yeah. I think teams definitely got hit with a shot out of left field. a blind side of a football term, a blind side, right?
Well, not only teams, but some of the players who were maybe relegated to shorter deals or not, maybe not as much money in many cases. You know, one of them with the Steelers, Juju Smith-Schuster, now a Steeler, Mitchell Trubisky, went and was a backup in Buffalo for a year, where maybe if teams had some money to throw around, things would have been a little different. Noticing a trend too noticing a trend also with some of that is also, like, it seems like a lot of things now are kind of performance or incentive based, even just based on a few of the names that we've mentioned or other ones that we may or may not be able to have any guilt by association here. But yeah, I've noticed some of that. It's like, you know, you hear the high dollar figure because you've got the press release, you've got your PR people, but then you find out on the tail end, well, they're only making X amount of dollars in the first year of this 3-year deal, which appears more team friendly, the cap and everything like that. Some of it's incentive,
et
cetera.
Yeah, so definitely. So I, obviously you have, again, let's just give the two sides of the coin. One side of the coin, those incentives ideally motivate a guy, right, to perform. You want to reach those plateaus, to reach that bonus, those breakpoints, right, to hit that bonus incentive. Then also you have the cap relief for the team. So whether you don't, if you don't hit that number, obviously it could be a win or lose, however you want to look at it for a team. Maybe we'd rather you hit it, because if you're hitting it, you know, we may be doing well. But if you do hit it, that cap number is not hitting. You're not getting hit till that next year anyway, on the cap. So it's not like you're paying it up front and taking it back. So it definitely allows a team to save some cap space when you have a contract that's predicated on hitting some incentives.
And no,
it can help you. Yeah.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense, and it makes me wonder why player A went to this situation. Particularly, like, there's quarterbacks going all over the place right now. It's crazy.
Yeah,
trades and otherwise. Some of the young men out there are getting second chances. Like I mentioned, Trubisky, and there's several others. But you know, sounds like you have a lot of great stories, great experiences. I didn't want to use that football term, blindside you. I've done this off the cuff just to see what people say. But I also understand there's certain things you can't share. So this time, joining me here on the show, I let you know in advance that I may ask this question. I said, and I've got it for you here. What's one amazing story? It doesn't have to be just one. Maybe you have more than one.
Yeah.
But that you could share from your time or experience as an agent.
There's one that really that no one will know of. It's really how me and my partner got introduced to the business, and it was our first stab at it. And it may not be amazing to everyone, it was amazing to us. We had this guy named Maurice Harris, maybe 5-6 years ago, first started, you know, getting our feet wet. A local guy played at Cal here in the Bay Area in the Pac-12. And this guy was the fourth receiver on the roster. And I had access to the practices. I was recruited to Carolina High School, so I had a coach there that was, you know, allowed us to come check out practices. And so I kept telling my guys, hey, look, this guy has something. It's the way, you know, you catch the ball, you can pay attention to it. I said, there's something there. I said, I don't know why he's not performing or what the other guy's getting the attention. I said, he's the one. And we ended up signing him. We got him. He went undrafted, went to Washington. I don't know what the listener, so I won't say, you know, the name was not the name today.
we screw up everything from that to saying that, you know, I know it's taboo now, but I even say San Diego Chargers still. So
it happens.
Bets are off. Yeah,
Especially like us that are, you know, enriched in the game, and that's what we grew up on. So he goes to Washington, and as a undrafted free agent, no one gave him the time of day. There were only two teams that even would have brought him in for mini camp. He made the team on the 53. So if we're talking about stories like that, that's when we really woke up and say, you know what, we got something here. And he played a few years, and I think that's probably the biggest story that stands out. On that regard, because it just gets me back on to the reason I got into it. You know, it's helping guys achieve their goals, right? And steering them in the right direction to accomplish whatever they have in mind, you know, for themselves and their families. And that's really what kicked us off.
No, that's pretty awesome. And I mentioned the FCS thing. I remember I was in Northern Iowa in like 1992, and I think Kurt Warner, I don't even know that he was a starter. I do believe he was a backup there. And it's just crazy to think that I was in the same building with this guy. And you talk about, you know, stories like that. So it's very cool, because I always think, like, if you have talent, it's not always going to work out sometimes in some cases.
Right.
You know, like Tom Brady, right. Drew Bledsoe gets hurt, he gets his opportunity. Maybe if Drew Bledsoe never gets hurt, he never gets that opportunity. We never know who he is. And doesn't
like,
become
who
like,
is Tom?
Yeah, it doesn't become the GOAT, right? But it's always like, you know, you look at where Jerry Rice went to school, and it's like, how do you find these guys? You know,
it's always
great stories. Always great stories.
Yeah, no, I love it. You know, it's the one thing that really, I think, brings so many people together around the game. Like, the pigskin has been very good to so many people, myself included. I'm not here talking to you today. It's not for the game.
And likewise.
So, I think that's the difference of the game. Like, with basketball, obviously Steph Curry has changed things. So people like me and you, maybe we could have perfected shooting back in the day. You know, who knows? but you have to be. It seems like you have to, you know, the Muggsy Bogues of the world. But you have to be a certain height and all that type of jazz, right? You know, the odds are stacked against you. Football, all you need is a chance. You know, all you need is someone to have an eye on you, believe in you, and give you an opportunity. And once you have that opportunity, if you make something of it or not, it's on you. But you can get that opportunity in football, no matter how big, small, slow, anything. So that's what I really love about the game. No matter where you come from, if you can play and you can provide a positive impact on the locker room and the team, there's a place for you.
I think Curry, some of it's the genes, the family bloodline there, and also let's not kid ourselves. It's a coach that lets him take those shots. He could have went somewhere else, and no way, man, you're not shooting this from a half court.
Like, right. Like, what are you doing? Get on the bench, end of the bench, you know?
Off the team, just pack up your things. What are you doing, you know?
Right.
Awesome stuff. Well, Derek, I've kept you long enough. I appreciate you being here with us today. Any closing thoughts or comments that you want to share with the viewers and listeners out there?
Closing thoughts is just thank you for the opportunity to speak with you guys in your platform. And I hope the viewers / listeners and you yourself and your team and enjoyed the time as much as I did.
Oh, absolutely.
And I look forward to, you know, seeing the Steel City, you know, get back to, you know, what when Pittsburgh is doing well, the football is doing well. It's just one of those things, you know, that you love to see franchises like that be notable and have an impact on the game.
Yeah,
so good luck going into the year, into the draft. Right. We can't skip that. Good luck going into the draft. And I'm looking forward to seeing the era following Big Ben. You know, he's done. Right. So what does the new era have for Steel City? And it'll be interesting to see. But you guys have the right team, the right leadership, the right ownership. Everything is right on par to keep you guys going.
Yeah, there's the structure. I mean, Chuck Knoll and Mean Joe Green, they did pretty much those two guys put it all in place, and it's been the blueprint ever since. And like you said, copycat leagues. You've had others try and copy the 3-4 and, you know, the zone blitzes and everything else. It's kind of crazy to think about, though. But, you know, I'm now 40. So I do remember some of the – I remember years before Ben Roethlisberger, but 18 years.
Yeah.
You talk about a long season. There's a lot of folks that are listening or watching that they're, you know, they're in panic because they don't know.
Yeah.
It's the unknown. They had experience.
They don't know the before. They don't know the you might have to go, but, you know, the Charlie Batches, the Cordell Stewart. So I'm a little younger than you, but I remember those games coming on CBS and – watching Raiders versus Steelers, you know, I was a Raider fan growing up and seeing those games. So you guys will be fine.
So if the game was in Oakland, it was almost a shoo-in that the Raiders were going to beat the Steelers. And it just seemed like no matter what happened there. I mean, now I'm an Ohio State fan too. Terrell Pryor somehow ends up being a quarterback there about a decade ago and mops the floor with the Steelers there. And it's just like, man, what has happened? But it seems that way. There's like, I say anywhere in Florida, and Oakland. Thank God they moved to Las Vegas, so maybe we get rid of that curse. And then Philadelphia. I don't think the Steelers have won in Philadelphia. Now, they don't play there very often, but they haven't won there in like 35, 40 years.
No way.
Yeah, but there's only like a handful of games that have actually been played in Philadelphia too, so they're not like frequent opponents.
Right. That's just weird. It's weird how it happens, right? It's weird how it happens. And I'm going to keep my eye on – now that's something in my head I'm going to keep my eye on. You know, next time, if you know, whenever the next time is that they end up in Philly,
yeah,
it'll be good to see. You know, yeah. But that's awesome.
And they're ugly games too. It's not like, you know, they just can't get over the hump for whatever reason. Well, Derek, thanks
Black
again.
And blue.
Yeah. Thanks again for joining all of us here. We really appreciate it. I don't know. As you get involved with social media, should we follow you somewhere on social media?
I get on social media. I'm not the most active. You know, I'm on Instagram. Sir Hawkridge, Sir Hawkridge, and then on Twitter, Agent_DHawk from my. So obviously you can see they don't match. I'm not on there that much. Maybe I'm too old school. I pay attention more to reality than social media, but you know maybe I need to get in.
You might be better for it. I get so many headaches. I said my New Year's resolution was to not fight what we call the yinzers, that they complain about everything. And a lot of people who follow the show aren't yinzers. And if they're still there hanging with us, we call them our 2%ers. They're the ones that hang in to the very end. So they'll catch your information and follow you there. Thanks once again for joining us. And, of course, you know, they're already the ones who are liking, commenting, and subscribing. But go and do all that good stuff as well, folks. And until next time, my name's Joe Kuzma. Very special guest here, Derek Hawkridge. Once again, he's an NFL agent for Steinberg Sports and Entertainment. Until next time, we always sign off this way. Derek, we encourage everyone out there to be safe, be good, and we'll catch you later.
We would like to thank you for listening and remind our listeners to follow us on social media and our website, www.steelcityunderground.com.